Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
You know, Jim, I am humbled and honored today because for two reasons. One, that we have a brand spanking new saint
we do.
In our midst. And that we have a guest today on Faith in Action who actually spent time with Mother Teresa, visited with her, and her story is compelling because many of our listeners know about Ann Ryder and know about her visit. But the behind-the-scenes story is the one that I wanted to get. Welcome, Ann Ryder. God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you. It is so good to see you again, to be here.
You know, Ann, I'm getting goosebumps. This just in prep for this, I'm getting goosebumps. I know that Mother Teresa is with us. I know she is. I want to take just a second because you've been very, very busy, and I told you off air, but if I went down through your bio here, it would eat into more of our interview.
It's not about me today. It's about Mother Teresa.
There's so much here. Freelance and writing and everything, honors and awards and everything you can imagine in the journalistic and, you know, TV world. But you're doing something new, and I just want to talk about that for a second because this is kind of brand spanking new and exciting and fun and invigorating. And
it is.
So give us just a little tidbit.
I'm a professor.
Yeah.
Now, I'm actually visiting lecturer at IU Bloomington, and I'm teaching three broadcast courses. And this year I have all seniors, even in my introductory course. I've got introductory, intermediate, and advanced. And it's really kind of a chance just to pass on what I've learned in the field. And, you know, it's a changing business, but some things shouldn't change, you know, about the ethics and the, you know, bring your heart to work with you. And, you know, there are some do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. And that's what I'm trying to pass along. I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay.
It's keeping me younger, I hope, because it's a challenge some days. Well, the millennials.
Oh, my gosh. Now, and how many days a week do you do that?
So it was supposed to be three, but I'm helping take care of my dad. So I have three 75-minute classes, boom, 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 one right after each other, 2 days a week.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm down there Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm commuting from Indianapolis. But, you know, the commute's not too bad because I use that time for quiet time sometimes in prayer.
Sure.
And
it's kind of a pretty ride down there, too. And
yeah, it's all torn up.
Well, except for
really,
the
tear-up.
You look up.
But if you look up while I'm meditating.
Watch the road, too. But, yeah, right.
Okay, I want to jump in because there's so many. And you are a gifted storyteller, and that became obvious to all of, you know, Indianapolis land very, very quickly.
Thank you.
In your career, and I read down through your bio, and that's one thing, that one way you describe yourself.
A storyteller, right.
A storyteller. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. We had the opportunity to listen to you to tell a story once, and I thought, I just wanted you to go on and on and on. It was wonderful about the golden thread woven through your life and really through all of our lives. Mm-hmm. So let's back up a little bit. Take us way back in time, Anne, to why, first of all, why Mother Teresa, and why go to Calcutta? So how did that even come on the radar for you?
Well, I had been doing stories of hope and faith and resilience of the spirit called Hope to Tell for a few years. And the interesting thing about Hope to Tell is it was born through prayer and frustration. I was frustrated with where the news business was going, and it came in the quiet of prayer. And it was just basically that even when something difficult happens, the kind of thing that leads the news, if you check back 6 months, 1 year later, usually the person will ascribe their getting better, their strength to something bigger than themselves. So that was Hope to Tell. That was the backdrop. Stories landed on my desk all the time. But again, in quiet, I thought, who would I most like to interview? Who would I most like to talk to? And you have kind of a wish list. At the top of the wish list was Mother Teresa, mm-hmm. who was notoriously difficult to get an interview with.
Sure.
Not because, mostly because she was busy doing the work. And she, you know, the media was pretty much irrelevant to the work she did. And people would sometimes go, and you could go and take your camcorder and probably get her on camera, but it was different for the mainstream media. So I wrote her a letter. 2 months later, I got a letter back thanking me for my letter, and it was the nicest rejection letter you've ever read. But here's the but. She said, but you can come to Calcutta to share our works of love. She said, I don't do interviews or film projects, but you can share our works of love. Well, I bolted to the general manager's office and said, oh, my gosh, Mother Teresa's invited me.
And he said,
he said, that's a rejection letter. But anyway, one thing led to another, and I knew whether it was on his dime or my dime, I was going to Calcutta. I'm glad it was his dime, I will say.
Yeah.
So off we went and didn't know what I would get. But it truly was a journey of faith. It was a journey of faith. I read everything I could get my hands on, what she had said in speeches, all of that, and it became very clear I was going to have to empty out before I got there of the control that we usually have and just soak it up. And I think ultimately that's what allowed, you know, the spirit to work and this to manifest.
Okay,
now,
what
did you
year
have to
was
take
this?
A production crew with you and everything?
I took not a whole production. It was going to be just me and a photographer, and then our general manager became convinced we needed, you know, a little more manpower to protect all that equipment, $250,000 worth of equipment in the streets of Calcutta.
Yes.
So we sent a photographer from our sister station in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
And when we got the interview, we had a two-camera shoot, which is just like the networks do it. So it worked. I'm just, all the pieces fell into place more than I could have ever arranged. It was meant to be. It felt meant to be.
And this was what year?
This was 1996, April, the week leading up to Easter. So one of the holiest weeks of the year. And it was a year and a half before she died. So to our knowledge, it's the last extensive sit-down interview she gave, to our knowledge. Yeah.
You know,
how did you go from, I'm not going to give an interview, come over if you want mm-hmm. to work with me, to getting an interview?
Okay, Jim, now wait a second, you're jumping ahead of us.
Oh, Jim, you're getting right to the point.
I wanted to weave this a little bit more, because I think it's interesting. Many of our listeners will not know, Anne, that you are a convert.
Yes.
And this was before your conversion, this visit.
Actually, it was after, but Medjugorje was before.
Oh, Medjugorje.
Medjugorje was before. And that was actually the first story of Hope to Tell we did. But I converted in, I think it was 93, I should know. And this was in 96. So okay. I was Catholic.
Brand spanking new.
I didn't, right when I converted, I didn't love the rosary, but by 96, I did. My rosary was my best friend over there. It really was.
Really?
It really was. It gave me so much peace. I kept it with me all the time and gave her a rosary from Medjugorje, and she held it up to Sister Priscilla and said, "This looks, Priscilla, my first Medjugorje rosary." So there you go.
That's pretty surprising. Right. Okay, so what's interesting is you get over there and you still don't know. I mean, you think that you're not even sure that you're going to see her because she said, "Come over and we might put you to work and you're welcome to see." But you are still not assured of a sit down with her.
Not at all.
No. And that in itself is a compelling story, I think. So you get over there.
We get over there. And we get in at 4 in the morning, and it was almost like a mirage. There were dark spot after dark spot after dark spot on the street, and we finally realized these are people sleeping on the street as far as the eye could see. So the poverty hits you the second you get there. And so I just got up. The guys stayed in the streets, shot these unbelievable street scenes of Calcutta, and I showed up at the mother house, went to Mass early in the morning. They knew I was coming. They kind of do their their homework on you. Sure. I really do think that they do. And I went to work as a volunteer, and for once in my life was not a pushy journalist. I just showed up and thought, I need to be a sponge, and I need to soak this up. So normally as journalists, as you know, we don't become part of the story. You know, we don't do the work. But I thought, how else will I see it unless I do it?
Right.
So I just joined the Legions of Volunteers. And I think it was through doing that and through not pushing and through, like I said, I felt it was meant to be, that this manifested midway through the week. I got called back by Sister Priscilla to come up and visit her. And I'd been told she was like the toughest, all the toughest nuns you've ever met, all rolled into one. And she grilled me. She grilled me, why are you here? I know your photographers are here. And we just had a 10-minute conversation about the beauty of the work. And by the end of that conversation, she had given me permission to shoot in every one of the homes. And said, what day do you leave? I said, we leave Saturday night. She said, Saturday morning, you'll talk to Mother Teresa.
Oh, my goodness.
Last day.
Okay, so you had been there for about a week, right? Your plan was to be there for a week.
10 days.
10 days.
10 days. And so it was, I mean, it was truly, it was a wing and a prayer is what it was. I still can't believe our general manager sent us, but he did. And I had been with the station for a while. So, and I told him, I don't think I'll get an interview with Mother Teresa, but I'll get something. I'll get something.
You told him that before you left. You
before I left.
Listeners, if you're just now tuning in, we're chatting with Ann Ryder today about Mother Teresa. And, of course, many of you know that on September 4th, Mother Teresa became our newest saint. And many here in the United States hold her as our beloved saint. I think the whole world really holds her as our beloved saint. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
An interview with Brother Trenton Rout and how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just got to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. At the same time, I was learning about the faith, having that accessible, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Ann Ryder. Who better to tell us the backstory to Mother Teresa than our own cutesy Ann Ryder? God bless you. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny. I was chatting with Jim. We have gotten a lot of press releases over the last few weeks. A lot of things have come across the channel saying, this person knew Mother Teresa, you might want to talk to them. This person knew Mother Teresa, you might want to talk. This person met Mother Teresa once when she was in St. Louis. And we're getting all these things, and Jim's like, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. And then we thought, Ann Ryder, for pity's sake, our own little Ann Ryder, she sat on your lap. I mean,
it was wonderful.
You were knee to knee. The beautiful pictures that you have are treasures, and they're treasures.
And if you had been there, she would have put her hand on your forehead and said a blessing over you. She would have taken your hands in hers and counted off Matthew 25 on your fingers. You know, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave
goodness.
Me to drink.
Oh, my goodness.
When I was naked, you clothed me. Homeless, you took me in. Sick and in prison, you visited me. She said, all of these things you did for the least, you have done for me. And so then she would put her hands over your prayer hands and say, this is love in action. So she really believed that she was serving the body of Jesus in the poorest of the poor. She called it the distressing disguise of the poor. And to look in her eyes when she would talk about this work, I had always heard, well, she was, you know, she had this luminous quality. Indeed, she did. But so interesting to find out during the sainthood process that so much of the time she felt in personal darkness, convinced she was to be a saint of the darkness. She even said that. She said, if I ever become a saint, surely I will be a saint of the darkness. I will continually be absent from heaven to be with those in darkness on earth.
You know, let me ask you, Anne, when St. John Paul II came to the United States in St. Louis, I had the opportunity to go to that Mass, and it was a palpable presence of peace around him. It was, you could feel it.
Yes.
And I wonder if when you, you were supposed to meet with her on Saturday morning.
Right.
Okay. If you felt, when you walked into the room or when she walked into the room, if you felt it.
Very much so.
Okay, so
and
tell
I kept
us about
thinking,
that.
You know, and I brought a journalist mentality to it, even though I couldn't believe, okay, here I sit. I had met her a couple of days before, Sister Priscilla, after she gave us permission to do the interview. Sister Priscilla introduced me to Mother Teresa, and so we had a few words then. Definitely, she had that aura of peace. I had questions written down. I hardly ever write down questions. I just write down areas I want to cover.
Sure.
But I thought, you know, I don't want to go blank with my You never know. You might just be, oh gosh, wow, what was I going to ask? So I had that, but I was not able to break her gaze. She had this incredible, it was like a force field of love and a maternal, a motherly sense. I will say that. And so it's so interesting that her locution, when she heard the voice of God, felt the voice of God, said, come be my light, because she was a light source. I even Googled, how does light reflect, in trying to articulate what it was like to be with her. And I think it makes her more, I don't even know what the word is. I think she draws more people to her as a result of having struggled. And so we've heard about this struggle.
Sure.
I have a family member who's not a particularly faith-filled person who said, I like her so much better now, now that I know that she, too, had some darkness. So no wonder we met volunteers, you know, a Jewish prosecutor from New York City, a nurse from Canada who said, I'm atheist, but I believe in this work and this woman. You know, Hindu, Muslim, everybody together working in love and service. At the end of the day, that's her takeaway as a saint.
You know,
love
and, you know,
and service.
I think that's what's so interesting. And Jim, I think you'll agree with this, that so many people, I mean, she was St. John Paul II, and Pope Francis is a little bit the same way today. But everybody loved Mother Teresa. Everybody.
Almost. Except for, she had detractors.
She did have detractors. This is true. My mother early on was not a fan of hers. came to like her, but was very critical of her early on. I remember, how could you not like Mother Teresa? But I think that was a cross she also carried.
It was. Well, you know, Lambert Riley knew her very well.
St. Meinrad.
Used to be the archabbot of St. Meinrad. Knew her very well, had conducted many, many retreats for them, had taken her confession, and I know Lambert very well. And Lambert said one time he was there giving a retreat in Calcutta for the sisters, and one of the sisters came up to him and said, you're not fooled by her, are you? She's a fake. And Lambert's take on that was, do you see? Jealousy is everywhere. It is in at all levels. I mean, if Mother Teresa can get that, you know, it just makes you feel a little better about some of the hits us take, whether it's from jealousy or from whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But clearly, she wasn't a fake.
No.
She was no fake.
And you were there for 10 or 11 days.
Yes.
And you talked about the interview. What did you do the rest of the time? Each day, what did you do?
Once we got the interview, I was sick for the first, it's day 2 and 3. Then I got called on Wednesday to the mother house, had that tête-à-tête with Sister Priscilla, got our permission slip, and boy, we were off and running. So from Wednesday until Saturday night, she had 5 homes for the poor, and that's a very good question. And so we shot in every one of the homes and shot a lot of tape, enough for a documentary. And then our last day, Sat with 45 minutes for Mother Teresa. She was
what
wonderful.
Would surprise us about Mother Teresa?
I think that she was, in Lambert's word, as shrewd as the day is long. And that's what he
surprises.
Said. And he says it with great affection and admiration. Because what I think people don't understand is they see the mantle of this extremely holy woman who gave her life in service, and yet she was also a very good leader. And here's how Lambert put it. He said, she was shrewd enough to put Sister Priscilla between herself and the rest of the order. So as a good CEO would do, or as anyone like that, sure, it allowed her to do her work, her prayer, and Sister Priscilla took care of a lot of the tough stuff day to day, including keeping pesky journalists away.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I know, I want to get a couple in here. We're going to run out of time.
Sure.
What is your treasure? What is your relic from her? What did you bring back that's your special treasure?
And while we were there, there was a Hindu couple that came to get this. So she would get these medals from Lourdes. I'm taking it right now out of the little locket I keep it in. And a priest would give them to her. And it's, you know, you can see it's the
miraculous
medal. But it's like tin, I think, almost.
So Mother Teresa gave this to
you. She would give this to everyone who stopped by, and she kissed it just like you kissed it just now.
Mm-hmm.
And so she put that in my hands, and I was 2 months pregnant when I went over there, of course. I had seen doctors and all that stuff. And she gave me one for the baby and some others for family members and kissed and blessed them. And so she gave them to my photographer one and photographer two. And showed us her sense of humor. I mean, she had a sense of joy about her. She really did. So that's why when I heard about all this, you know, internal darkness, it's a very interesting study, her life, because she exuded nothing but light and joy, which the takeaway to me on that is that you don't always have to feel it to step out in service and faith. We all go up and down in our faith. And to me, it's refreshing and comforting to know that Mother Teresa sometimes felt that ecstatic presence and other times did not, but it didn't change a thing because that mantle of Jesus was up there in front of her.
You know, I've read a little bit about her dark soul of the night, dark, dark night of the soul, you know, where she had dry periods that she cried out to our Lord and there was no answer. And,
right.
And she felt alone and she cried out again and she felt alone, completely alone.
Right.
For years, not days, not weeks, for years, she said she had dryness in her prayer life. And I think that that is such a great consolation, Anne. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Anne Ryder, talking about her wonderful visit with Mother Teresa. You know, I think we've talked to you a couple times about this, and I've looked at the documentary, if you will. I've looked at the tapes. I've seen it, but there's so much there. And you were in the middle of it. And I wonder, Anne, if when you were in the midst of those 10 days, if it wasn't all sometimes overwhelming and hitting your senses all at once, so that when you come back years later, so now 10, 20 years later now, you are still absorbing and the story is unfolding in your soul. Does that still happen? Do you still have moments of living those memories and thinking, well, that was a moment there?
That's a very astute comment because it's so true. And so many of the things that she said have taken on such deeper resonance with life experience. I get it now. I get what she meant when she said it's not how much we do, it's how much love we put into doing it. Or Calcutta is everywhere if you have the eyes to see it. Or the poverty of your country and Europe is worse than the poverty here because it's a poverty of loneliness and isolation and materialism. Well, I mean, you go outside and you walk around and everybody's got their heads down into their cell phone. That's a form of poverty because we're not connecting.
Sure.
And if we're not connecting and we're not in the moment, then we can't be Jesus to one another.
Sure. You know, Anne, I wonder, because you are such a wonderful storyteller, I wonder when you sit down with your grandbaby someday, your grandchild, grandchildren, and you talk about your visit with a great saint, what kind of story, what kind of shape that story will take? Have you thought about that?
Well, she had a reverence for children, She had a childlike quality, despite all she had been through, in this joy that she exuded. And it's basically a message of simplicity, love, and service. So those will never go out of style. They'll never end. And the fastest way out of any dark place, and who hasn't been in a dark place,
amen,
is when you're ready, service. That's what I've tried to impart to my daughter, who's 19, with all that goes with 19. She's a wonderful kid, but, you know. And that's what will stay with me. It's service. It's not how we feel in service. It's serving.
You know, Ann, I've repeated what you said so many times when you came here for the first time, and I asked you what attracted you to the Catholic faith, mm-hmm, and you said the service.
Yes.
And I said, the service, you mean the Mass? And you said, no, the service, as in acts of service.
Acts of service.
And you just repeated that, with that will resonate with you, Mother Teresa's comments about acts of service. And we're literally almost out of time. We've got about a minute left, but I'm going to cede that minute to you. What would you like to leave our listeners with about your time with Mother Teresa?
I think what resonates, we live in a troubling world. And when she said that she'll be a saint of the darkness, absent from heaven to be with those in darkness on earth, I think, is she not a saint for our times? That's what we need. And so many of the lessons, one of the most profound lessons, is that people of all different faiths and all different backgrounds, everything with the guy with a nose ring and three earrings to the Baptist grandmother, were working together in love. And if it can happen in a micro way there, why can't it happen in the macro world, in our world? We've got to wake up and do something. So I'm so profoundly pleased that she's becoming a saint right now. Not a minute too soon.
Not a minute too soon. God bless you, Ann Ryder, and thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.